I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Borough Mayor and Council for Monday, May 23rd, 2016. That has been our tradition for many, many years. I would like to invite everyone to join us in the recital of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item of business is the approval of the executive session minutes from May 9th. Move to approve. We have a motion by Councilmember Loyes to approve the executive session minutes as proposed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the reason the record show that motion passed unanimously and that all council members are here. There were actually four reasons under the closed session provisions of the Maryland Code. First was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the public body has jurisdiction. Second was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. Third was to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. And lastly, before a contract is awarded or bids are open, to discuss a matter directly related to the negotiating strategy or the contents of the bid or proposal, if public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes of May 9th.
Two changes, Mayor.
Sir.
On page 5, paragraph 3, this may be, I didn't enunciate it properly, so Ms. Vicki may not have caught this. We have inceptors in the notes. These should be interceptors. That could be my fault, Ms. Vicki, sorry. But other than that, unless someone else has something, I'll make a motion to approve with those two changes.
Okay. Anyone else have any requested changes? All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Boyes to approve the regular session minutes of May 9th with those two corrections. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Next is number two on our agenda is a motion to approve the request for a waiver of $65 for the application fee for a wheelchair ramp at 233 Branch Street. Planning Director Dave Engelhardt will basically explain the circumstances.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
We have two members of the Chesapeake Housing Mission with us tonight, Mr. Taylor and Mr. Nelson. They'll give you a little overview of their program, but essentially for people of little or no means who need assistance in some minor construction repairs is what they do in different counties on the Eastern Shore. This permit they've applied for is for a handicap wheelchair ramp at 233 Branch Street for Berlin resident Nadia Shockley, and they would like to request normally, this type of permit would be $25 to NDIA for a plan review, and then we get $40 for the permit. The total that you would waive would be $65. They intend to do a lot more in our area, to my understanding. So they would also like that if you would entertain the thought of giving them a blanket waiver on projects of the same note. I haven't seen that happen before. We have set precedent with the Small Miracles group. In 2014, we waived fees twice for them for the same exact application for wheelchair ramps. for people who could not afford them but couldn't get to their medical appointments, couldn't get to their doctors. So Mr. Taylor and Ms. Nelson would like to just give you a quick overview.
Come right on down. And even though we know you, for the record, because everything's on the internet and so forth, just introduce yourself and whatever hat you're wearing tonight. Because I know you're all wearing many.
First, I want to thank the council for letting us speak to you tonight, because I know our organization is new to the city of Berlin, even though we're not new to the area. But my name is Rick Nelson. I'm the vice president of Chesapeake Housing Mission. Don Taylor is our executive administrator. So we are a Christian-based organization that's been around for about 5 or 6 years, and mainly what we do is build wheelchair ramps. We will do other minor repairs, but we found out through the years that the wheelchair ramp is a area that's fallen through the cracks, that there is no government program for it, and there's definitely a need for it. We use all volunteer labor. We do criminal background checks and everything on our volunteers. There are no paid staff, and we do not charge the individual anything. I'm going to let Don give a little bit more of the history on that, if you would.
Do I need the mic? Well, my thanks also for the opportunity to come before you. I know a few of you. We did 58 projects last year in the lower four counties. 58. 14 were in Worcester. The need here is great, as is in the other counties. Like Rick said, we don't charge. We don't select our recipients either. Your health department here in the county, MAC Incorporated, refers those to us, BASIL, Bay Area Center for Independent Living. So we get referrals. Case managers go into the homes, and once they've seen the need, they'll pass that on to us. And then our decision is can we do it? Some of the repairs are too complicated or much too expensive for us in terms of bathroom modifications. So ramps have consisted of probably 90% of what we've been doing. What we also like to brag a little bit about is it's not just a ramp, but we're bringing the people together. And if you go on our website, we ask people to give a day, just one day. And not only will you change the life of the person that you're building the ramp for, but you'll probably change your own, because you're going to show that person that you really care about what they do. We engaged over 1,000 volunteers last year. 7,000 volunteer hours.
That's hard to do.
Oh, it is.
It is.
And another thing that I think is remarkable, because we're knock on wood first, but out of all that, we've never had neither injury. We've never had neither complaint on the ramps. I mean,
you don't let Don do anything. That's it. We can explain that.
Yeah. So safety is our main thing. Like I say, when you're dealing with that many volunteers with low skill levels, I think that just kind of shows how careful we are on a project we go.
Half of the volunteers are high school kids.
Wow. So we had community set hours,
yes,
that way.
And Pocomoke High School has been very active. We're working on Stephen Decatur. We've had the colleges, the universities involved, Rotary clubs. Any group you have of 10 or 15 people, we can take you for a day. It'll be a great day. We'd love to invite the council.
I would encourage you to talk to our local media friends. We have more newspapers than any municipality in the state of Maryland, which is fine. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's great.
But it's also something where we encourage you to be proactive in working with it, especially here in Worcester County, as you're growing your presence. And like I say, the need is unbelievable. And thank you.
Are there any questions for us?
I have something to say before. The person that you're going to vote on tonight, I'm not going to vote because she's my mother's sister.
Okay.
She's 91 years old. And she just got out of she's been in the hospital and nursing home. And we thought she would never come out of the nursing home. She is living independent.
Yeah.
And she's trying to get that ramp, not only to get to church, but she wants to drive her car.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
She's a better driver.
How far does she drive?
And she was up here the last time we had the awards.
Oh, yeah,
right.
She was here.
Yeah. So I'd like to move to approve the waiving the fees for the ramp. located at 233 Brent Street.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to waive all the fees, which total $65 for the handicap ramp at 233 Brant Street for the Chesapeake Housing Mission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I'm not going to get any more cookies.
Now, I do have a question for the council because it was referred to, I think Mr. Nelson referred to it. Is, oh no, it was Dave. I think Dave, was I, did I hear correctly that you're also looking for a, at least a more permanent waiver that maybe could be extended from time to time?
This wasn't in the motion we prepared, but they had asked me.
Okay.
Typically, we have done it on a case-by-case basis, but.
Well, let me ask you, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and it's because you're the professional here, but obviously, we want to use our due diligence at the same time we want to be compassionate. And these folks are already doing everything they do as volunteers. And I'm hoping that there'll be many more of these ramps by your organization. And again, other folks can do similar things in some of our churches. Is it possible, it may be a case-by-case basis, not by project, but have each organization come up and ask for a waiver, and then it can be just, assuming everything is going fine, it can just be reapproved each year through your office, and then if you have a problem, you come see us.
Yes.
Is it, I mean, does that, do you feel comfortable with that?
Yes. We can do that.
I'm just thinking, you know.
That'd be great.
I still would encourage you to get out and about, and if you get into the media, do that. It's a lot of people, especially in these days, are so busy.
It looks like we're going to hit 70 this year.
Wow, that's very nice.
So
does anybody on the council, because obviously I'm making a suggestion but not a motion.
I'll make that motion that we give a yearly.
That can be renewed at the discretion of the planning and zoning director to each organization that asks, that is doing the similar thing, and the date would obviously come to us. That way each organization could make their decision whether they wish to be here or not. But it would not require you to be here each and every time you do something good for the community.
I agree.
Is that
yep. Okay? I'll make that motion just like you said.
Okay.
This is going to be nonprofits, right?
Yes. Strictly nonprofits. Yes.
So will this will be just on Dave's purview, or can we make it Dave and the town administrator?
Whatever you prefer. I mean, I'm
no, really any problem amending that?
No, but I'm fine with Dave.
I just don't want to set a bad precedent to get out of hand and snowball from office.
That's fine.
I could
nothing Dave, against Dave, Dave, but I just want to back up with him.
I would say we could pass a motion yearly, and we bring that to you once a year.
Yeah.
Right now, this is the only organization, the Small Miracles organization. They haven't been in my office in over a year. They did two. One on Old Ocean City Boulevard, and I'm missing where the other one was, but they did two in a row, and then they haven't been back. And then Mr. Nelson came in my office and said they're ramping up their activity. But so I certainly could, you know, this time next year, we could do it around the fiscal year if you like, or I'll take a suggestion. But if I had that, if it was a first-time charitable organization, nonprofit, I would bring it to you anyway, just like we did tonight. So if you like, we can renew them yearly, and I bring it for you to approve each year.
I personally have a problem with waiving for a handicap ramp application, if that's all it is in all instances, whether it's profit or nonprofit. Somebody needs a handicap ramp. I don't see the problem with waiving.
It would still be inspected, though. I mean, I've had three members
that are in wheelchairs. It's just waiving the fees.
We welcome the inspections.
They are still inspected.
Yes.
And as you saw, this was broken into the $25 for the permit review. You have to spec, you know, what the spread of the joists are, what the pitch of the ramp is, the railings, and that gets done by our inspector, and then he goes in the field once they dig their footers, you know, for where the posts go at the end of the ramp, and he inspects it on the final for all the, you know, all the carpenter.
I like his suggestion, yeah, where he said about the wheel, if you don't mind amending yours.
Sure. Amended to accept the $25 fee from any organization.
Yes, at 25 and 40.
Yes.
One thing I want to have full disclosure here, when Dave said the inspection, when we dig the holes, what Worcester County let us do, we do these on Saturdays. A lot of times your inspector's not there to do it, so we take pictures as we're doing that. So I'll be perfectly clear, I don't want to deceive anybody. If that's okay with you, that we're doing it on Saturday, we'll take the pictures of the depth of the hole and everything we're doing.
And all the inspectors have been fine with that.
Yeah. And this is another thing. This is one of the advantages of living in a less metropolitan area. Reputation still matters. Okay. So, you know, it really does. So, yeah, we have a motion that has been amended to waive the fee for the handicap ramps for all organizations, that all other requirements still continue through the planning and zoning office, and the planning and zoning director each year at an appropriate time renews and lets us know what organizations we're authorizing for that purpose. Is that a fair summary?
I'd like to see it for any and all.
And everything is, I think, is what he's saying is that he's just going to keep a log, so there's some sort of log, and then just as part of, that's why just make it part of the budget process. All right. That way, we won't forget it. We will never forget the budget. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you. Let's see. Next is number three is on the agenda is a motion by the mayor and council requesting authorization of an expenditure from the Maryland Department of Transportation for a bikeways program grant. And again, who's going to take the
Dave?
Okay.
As you're aware, we have been working on the idea of a pedestrian and bikeway path that would connect the Berlin Falls Park to downtown. Recently, on May 11th, we met with a representative of the Maryland-Delaware Railroad. There's a licensing agreement we would need to secure to put that path within their easement, their right-of-way that runs through town. Currently, they have, from the center line of the railroad tracks, 33 feet in general. In some areas, it gets a little narrower in town just because of the way it was flatted out years ago. But pretty consistently, we saw on our trek around town with Mr. Sullivan from the railroad that we have 33 feet each side.
On each side? On each side?
From the center line
of the railroad tracks, we have 33 feet. So if you measure from the outside, it's probably 30 feet, 31 feet each side clear. And we even, you know, measured some, the ideal bikeway path according to Maryland Department of Transportation bikeways program is a 10-foot surface with 2-foot clear each side. So we kind of measured around a little bit, 14 feet, 10 and 2 and 2, and we have plenty of clearance in most areas of town to do this. And the licensing agreement to use would be the east side of the railroad tracks and probably extend from the northern limits of town along Route 50 all the way to the southern limit of town down by Worcester Prep. We don't know if we'd get a trail that long right off the bat, but I've been investigating with, I had talked about this with Laura Allen, and I've had similar conversations with the mayor and Laura and Mary Bowen, Pete Patton of the Lower Shore Land Trust. And there's a Maryland Bikeways grant program underway right now. The deadline for applying is Thursday. they've extended it to next week, not for us, but for everybody. This is for feasibility money, design concept. Based on an estimate, this would be no more than the $20,000 would be the maximum expenditure.
And that would be our share?
But, yes, and that would probably be up to total. And I think that's more than generous. I don't think we'll need anything near that. Most of it could be in kind. In other words, our work hours put in on it to file the grant application, and then to go ahead and put it out to bid. When if we get the grant funds, they would be awarded. It closes here in June, sometime this September, funds would be awarded. I've had an estimate of about $30,000 for that first phase, not to the town, but that would be the cost of that study. The priorities that are listed, we meet almost all of the criteria for the grant, and especially the connectivity. If we go from the northern edge of town someday to the southern edge, we'll catch that Assateague bike trail also that goes out Assateague Road and hit 611 to go up with the Assateague State Park. So all the people at Maryland Bikeways have encouraged us to go ahead and apply for the grant. Their funding is 80% of costs, you know, if we're in the priority program, and it appears we would be. So you can see that $20,000 was, Laura Allen had advised me to put that in there as kind of a worst case scenario.
Well, they might get so excited they won't do the whole thing.
Well, this would be the first phase, and then and that would be the design. In other words, to get an engineer, an architect, the stormwater work done, the licensing agreement done with the railroad, and then the actual construction money. They said we have that too, so it's conceivable we could get almost all of it funded and have a connected. You know, like, this would be, if it's in the railroad right-of-way, you have a lot of areas in the state and around the East Coast, especially in the Rust Belt, where you have rails to trails. But the Maryland-Delaware Railway likes this idea because it would be rails and trails, so it would be the first of its kind. So once again, we would have a first-of-its-kind application if we can, you know, get the grant money and get something like this accomplished. Where we tie in initially, we thought the first phase would be from the new park down to where, you know, near Main Street, where the fire company is and the new library will be. All of this would come together about the same time. I think it's a good application. So we're looking for your authorization to proceed in seeking the grant. I'd also talked with Laura Allen and informed Natalie Soleil, the finance director. This is not an item that's in your upcoming budget, so it would have to be an amendment to the budget. Should there be funds to spend in this fiscal year, in 17 fiscal year, and that would be, I guess, out of your wouldn't be the capital budget. I guess it would be the general fund. She thought it would probably come from reserve if you did have to spend dollars. But them being away, both of them had a financial, and she just wanted me to make Natalie aware of it at the end of last week. She wasn't here on Friday. But I sent Natalie an email and told her to be aware of that. Laura had asked to do that. So we're kind of trying to catch this the last minute. We got an extra week.
Before the train leaves the station, right?
Yeah, well, it's all just come together. Like I said, we just met with the railroad May 11th. I called Mr. Sullivan today to say, you were to be back in touch with me. And he said, your timing's perfect. I'm meeting with the chairman of the railroad tomorrow. And it's one of the items we'll discuss. I'll give you some kind of answer on Wednesday. So he's still for the program? He's still
He was positive, but we went on a tour.
The mayor and I rode around with him. I drove, and we
The longer the tour went on, the more excited he got, and he wasn't that kind of guy that naturally gets excited. He's a nuts and bolts kind of guy, which is very good, very practical guy. But by the time he saw the potential, he was excited.
His position is to ensure that the railroad isn't incurring any liability and the best use of their properties. There will be, I have no idea what it'll be, there will be some financial licensing agreement. He said typically it's several years and it's payable. You know, it's paid not every year, not every month. That licensing is paid on a cycle. He said maybe with the renewal of the agreement, if it's a 3-year or a 5-year plan.
And remember, we're doing a lot of other negotiations, not just ourselves, but the county, the state, the both municipalities, Snow Hill. It'll probably be all part of the whole mix of things, because this bikeway is not dependent on the railroad coming through first. The I'll call it excursion train. That happens, and we certainly are still as hopeful as ever, but it's not dependent. So this could proceed even if the train excursion has a few bumps in the road to get overcome.
And again, these are for concept, for design, for feasibility right now, not for construction, the first phase of this. Because they break it down into different phases, the bikeways program from the state. And once awarded, you have 24 months to spend. So even if you were have to go into reserve to spend some money, it would be over a 2-year period, and that would be starting probably the end of this year. So just trying to give you a time frame.
Yeah.
Nothing immediate.
Okay. Does anyone have any very, very thorough presentation based on what I think I know about this?
Well, actually, you know, for 7 years, we've been trying to do everything we can, make Berlin walkable, bikeable Berlin, and this, you know, is just going along with what we've already set in motion. So I'd like to go ahead if no one else has any problem and make a motion requesting authorization of expenditure for the Maryland Department of Transportation Bikeways Program grant not to exceed more than $20,000 in matching funds.
We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the authorization for matching funds for a bikeways program grant from the Maryland Department of Transportation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. I think mine is very exciting. I remember it seems 4 or 5 years ago we were having meetings with Aztec National Seashore, Aztec State Park, bike folks, and certainly our Berlin Green partners, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. It was kind of like, where do we begin? So the trail has been well established between Aztec to 113, and this should be another significant thing. And it's just a matter. I think if you get two good solid pieces, the other parts will naturally come together. I think it's very exciting. Thank you all for your support for this, and hopefully this is another thing that this mayor and council and many, many to follow will be able to build on. Thank you. Next is number 4 on our agenda, a presentation from our good new friends, or lady friends, from Out West. Zalika and Chrisanta, and we certainly know who you are, but if you go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. Good evening, everyone. Before anything else, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for being such gracious hosts and for welcoming Zalika and I to Berlin. Everyone has been very supportive, very welcoming, very warm, except for the weather. So anyway, so we are here to present our the town actually asked us to do two things for Berlin. First is the ecotourism management plan for the Berlin Falls Park, and second is the eco environmental education programs still for Berlin Falls Park. And the presentation will go three parts. First is for the ecotourism management plan proposal for Berlin Falls Park. Second is the environmental education programs. And thirdly, our experiences here in Berlin. So, okay. So the first part is the current situation, which this is a very rough proposal, as you know, time is a limitation. And the research done was through available data online, and those provided to us by Laura and Jane and all the consultants in this program, in this project. So the first part is the current situation, which I believe was already covered by the environmental site assessment report conducted by EA Engineering Science Technology Incorporated, which I think the report was submitted last June 2015. I was able to access this online through your website. So so I guess we'll skip the first part, basically just stating the location, climate, geography, demography, existing infrastructure, utilities, and transportation. Secondly is the tourism profile. This is an activity or practice of, you know, tourism is an activity or practice of touring, especially for pleasure. And I have identified two resources, the natural-based resources, which are the natural ecosystems, the forests, lakes, or ponds present in the area, and the natural resources, which are the flora, fauna, and water resources. Secondly is the cultural-based resources, which is cultural or historical and archaeological sites present in the area, the festivals or events being held in the town, and the indigenous or ethnic cultures, if there's any. Third is the market analysis. We have to conduct the market analysis for international tourist arrivals and visitors profile, the domestic tourism segments, which are families or students, and international tourism segments, or package tours, free and independent tourists, and lastly, for other special interest travelers, like hikers, campers, so there. Fourth, this is tourism marketing. There's the government marketing, the private sector marketing, and the ecotourism marketing. Lastly, the transport, which is the how to get to the area through air, water, land, and Dave was discussing earlier about the railway being operational again, hopefully very soon. This will greatly help in the marketing of the Berlin Falls Park. And on the third part is the management plan. This is a proposal, so it's up to the town to adopt or, you know, I already developed or made a vision for the ecotourism management plan for Berlin Falls Park. We envision Berlin Falls Park as a haven for an integrated, ecologically nurturing, cultural sensitive tourism, providing holistic and enriching experience to both local and international tourists, and contributing to the sustained economic growth and development of the local community. So, as this is a management plan, of course, there should be goals and objectives. First goal is to promote an inclusive ecotourism program or industry that offers opportunities and activities to different segments of the tourism markets. Objectives is to create visible social enterprise relevant to ecotourism, and to be able to establish functional linkages with business sectors, government and non-government agencies for investment, resource, mobilization, or access. Second goal is to develop a model for ecotourism and biodiversity protection, management, and conservation activities. Its objectives are to establish visible ecotourism products and services, and to be able to develop a marketing strategy. Third is to improve the knowledge of local people and the public in general, and BFP, or the Berlin Falls Park visitors, about the area's natural and cultural resources by means of educational and interpretative activities, which Zalika is going to discuss later on. Fourth is the Functional Ecotourism Management Committee, or a relevant management structure, planning, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation to involve the communities both within and adjacent to the BFP to benefit from ecotourism activities. And fifth is sustainable revenue generation and resources conservation to establish a fee collection system for those, for some activities in the BFP. So these are just, these are the strategies or programs under these goals. So first, baseline establishment, environmental scanning value, supply chain resource inventory and skills inventory, and conduct a business plan or FS workshop. The expected output should be at least one visible and profitable social enterprise, and the business plan or workshop conducted. I designed this for a 5-year management plan. Yeah, implementation starting next year up to 2021.
Okay.
So, for the second goal, the objectives are to establish feasible ecotourism products and services and to develop a marketing strategy, a visitor database profiling and inventory of facilities, networks, infrastructure, child-friendly and gender-sensitive products and services should be in place. The expected output should be at least one ecotourism product or services or marketing plan. Third activity is implementation infrastructure plan for BFP. The expected output should be number of completed infrastructure as indicated in the plan. Third is the dry run of tourism circuit, market survey of ecotourism products and services, and the expected output should be market survey report. So the first activity under goal two should go on for 5 years, and the following during the first 2 years, and the last is the first. For goal, this is goal four, the sustainable visitor management plan. We regulate carrying capacity and the zoning and economic activities. I believe the there was already a proposal for the zoning of activities in the BFP, enforcement and of ordinances and ENR laws. Involve communities both within and adjacent to the BFP to benefit from ecotourism activities. So identification and capacity building of management committee. The town should designate a park manager or tourism officer through, I guess, an ordinance. Convergence of all government national agencies for budget resources is optional. And invite local business owners to set up booths for business interests. Lastly, sustainable revenue generation, promotions, and resources conservation. So we make use of the social media, creation of website, Facebook, Twitter, etc., development of tri-media materials, videos, and brochures, tourists and travel operators, tours, transport, lodging, hotels, and restaurants, and local communities, and conduct of events in the park. So I got this map from Laura. She provided this to me, and I believe this is the site plan and zoning of the activities, identified activities within the BFP. So the visitor management plan, these are the strategies for... Actually, I was able to access your code of the town of Berlin, which is the following are included, I think, in Chapter 22, Article 3, with regards to parks management. So you can just browse through this. Because I during the launch, during the inauguration at the Berlin Falls Park, I saw a sign there stating the rules in parks here in Berlin. So there should also be site activity management, the opportunities for ecotourism, including the businesses, capacity building, meaning the management should be capacitated in terms of managing the parks, managing visitors, environmental assessment, and institutional arrangements, monitoring and evaluation. So Laura was also told us that we should be able to recommend something for the park. And during informal interviews to town personnel, there isn't, I'm not sure, but there, I think there isn't there's no assigned person or technical person to manage the park. So one of the recommendations is to assign either a technical person or environmental engineer who will oversee the progress and development of the park, a park ranger or environmental engineer. Second is to the removal because it was previously a chicken processing plant, so there may still be toxic substances within the ponds. So the removal or disposal of residue materials is important. And thirdly, regular monitoring and periodical testing of water quality in the ponds. Whether the Berlin Falls Park is already in operation, this should still continue due to the length of time used during the as processing plant, chicken processing plant.
Let me just ask, because temporary with the screen being out, the first recommendation was, of course,
appoint a technical person who
environmental engineer
or park ranger
to oversee the development of the park. Yeah. And water quality monitoring was the third. But what was the second?
Removal or disposal of residue materials, especially in the ponds.
Okay.
Due to its history or previous use as processing plant, chicken processing plant.
Okay.
Yes. So that's it for the ecotourism management plan. We can entertain questions later, but you will have to take care of the drinks after. Okay, Salika will now discuss the environmental education programs that she developed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening, mayors and council members and everyone. I'm very happy today to be here to share my knowledge and some of my suggestions for the educational programs for Berlin Falls Park. For these programs, I would like to share my presentations on developing interpretation programs in Berlin Falls Park. So this is we got these maps from Laura Allen, and this is just a Berlin's park planning map. And I think that the town has already done the planning and homeworks in regards to the development of Berlin Falls Park. And just last week, we were provided the data by Laura, which is very helpful in developing this EE program. And as you can see, these are some of the potential programs that can be done in BFP, which communities themselves identified. So this basically the high score for sustainability factors, activities such as bicycle, nature trails, walking, solar energy park, bird watching facility, nature center, and outdoor environmental education. So my suggestions for developing interpretation programs in BFP is that I think the town can work with various local environmental NGOs, and besides. Maybe the town can work with bird specialists as well. And maybe we can find out. No, sorry? Non-profits organizations. Maybe the town also can find out either the ponds are suitable for IABA programs, Important Birds Area, which is conducted by National Audubon Society, Maryland and DC, and set up exhibition on pond and lake ecology, set up local community programs on nature, tree planting programs, and lake restoration feedback mechanism through the survey and questionnaires with communities, or even branding the BFP. Whenever they see a large a cartoon character, it should be, or even a logos, it should enable people to associate with Berlin Falls Park. why interpretation and EE? So although there are many definitions, main purpose is to get people to acquire knowledge, skills, understanding, values that will motivate them to participate and make informed decisions for sustainable living. Interpretation enhances public appreciation and, of course, enjoyment of natural and cultural resources. And this is an effective way at linking people to nature through direct personal experience in natural area that create lasting personal memories. This is my interpretation plans. This interpretation plans is for BFP with a 62-acre tract. The plans covers the visitor center and ecological trails surrounding the ponds. The ideas that I provide for these are based on my limited experience, so I'm not totally familiar with the variety of species, of course, ecology and stories that can communicate at the park. And this plan is actually can be used as the basis for the development of interpretation with additional ideas coming from naturalists and conservationist experts. And I guess this is when we want to develop interpretation programs, these three are basic things that we need to know through Tilden's principle of interpretations by provoke, reveal, and inform. So when we are doing the interpretations, these are the questions that we have to ask, that we have to know, that we have to answer. Why do we want to interpret? Who should be involved in these projects, programs? What are you interpreting? Who are you interpreting for? What message? What are your specific objective? What media will be used? How will how will you interpret to be interpretation be implemented? How will it be evaluated and how will it be maintained? Other than that, what is special about your site? What visitor visitors facilities are or will be provided? For example, visitor center, trails, car park, access, signs, toilet. What other interpretation is available in the area, and what staff, money, or other resources that available that will be available? And who are you interpreting for? What is the target groups for this Berlin Falls Park? Who are the visitors? Why do they come? How many of them? How often do they come? Where are they from? What interests them? And so on. Well, if you have many families and school groups, the town should do something specific for children. If you have lots of repeat visitors, you could change part of interpretation each year. And if the town have visitors with particular interests, and the town should interpret what they are interested in. And again, who are potential future visitors. And these are the objectives. They can be divided into four: learning objective, emotional, behavioral, and promotional. What you want your visitor to know, what you want your visitor to feel, do, and how do you want BFP to be present. And these are some of the media that we can use in developing the interpretation programs through graphic panels, interactive graphic panels. This can be indoor or outdoor, trail displays, guided walks, publication, even audio tour, computer interactive, and visitor centers can contain a wide range of media as well. So, yeah, the important thing is that we have a welcome signs. So the focus is that public understand that the type of walk or cycling activities that they will experience and the distance. And it can also include a map. And it will include brief information about the habitats that they will be experienced. Again, the question is why this park is so special. In terms of education display, it is important to identify the key message for BFP and how they will be communicated. Display should include good illustration and have minimal text, of course. And maybe a large aerial painting or photos of BFP can be placed in the visitor centers, for example, the graphic panels. These are the example of the what we can do for the graphic panels and interactive graphic panels in the visitor centers or even natural centers. Other than that, we can have trail display as well. The display should be made of weatherproof materials with inks to ensure the colors do not fade. So these are some of my suggestions for the display. Maybe some of the general information about ponds and wetlands, species display on the second picture, species display, birds, butterflies, or even invertebrates, or even plants of the park. And maybe on the third picture, specific animals or plants, maybe just some simple information about the specific animals that in the Burley Fall Park. And there could also be displayed that includes the key message that the park is a special place for nature. This could be designed so that people can take photo within this display. This is kind of like promotional strategy as well. And guided walk, of course, because perhaps this is the most one of the effective way to interpretations programs. Trained guides or even volunteers who can communicate in interesting way, who knows the area and species well, can be the most important form of interpretation for visitors. And nature adventure activities, these are some of the nature activities that can be done in BFP. Hands-on activities such as insect catching, water monitoring, scavenger, nature hunts, or network, any environmental education activities. And even kayaking, but it depends on the quality of the water in the ponds, nature games, and nature craft. And of course, for bird watching, observation facilities is very important as well. As the pond is an open air habitat, visitors are conspicuous as they walk across it. Therefore, it's worth considering providing some observation facilities to enable bird watchers and other specialists to see wildlife with minimal disturbance. So these facilities could include observations, heights, observation screens, and observation towers. And of course, publications and other EE materials as well. Public can get brochures or leaflets or posters from the visitor centers. It is also important to have environmental education modules as well. So town can provide the soft copy EE modules through website. These are some of the guidelines on how you can develop interpretation programs in BFP. Nothing much. Another one. Once again, and yeah, followings are the ABCs of qualities of good exhibits. It must be attractive, it must be brief, and it must be clear. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you. Very good.
Oh yeah, we have another presentation. So our next presentation is to share our learnings and musings of our Berlin experience. So we have come up with this presentation to summarize our experience here. We hope that we can implement some of our learning here to our respective countries. We come up with these 8 reasons why Berlin is cool. Well, of course, the town captivates people's heart, our heart, with beautiful, with charming residents. And of course, whenever my partner and Krisma and I will go for a walk in downtown Berlin, there will always be friendly residents saying hello. Great small historic town. I guess, yeah, everyone knows that Berlin is a very nice place, historic place. And I think local citizens, businesses, and town government really put their effort in renovations and preservation of the districts, and especially Main Street Berlin. Another one that we learn about Berlin is that local government, we respect and on local government's active effort for sustainable community. So as we have been visiting a lot of different places and a lot of field trips, and I think wastewater treatment plants and spray sites, and of course stormwater projects. These are some of the projects that I think are good for the setting.
Worth imitating.
And And number four, strong resident participation in local community. I guess that the town conducted many festivals, community events that is not only strengthening bonds between neighborhood, but also promoting environmental awareness and healthy lifestyles. So these are some of the programs that we managed to join. Berlin Community Project, Just Walk event, and even attendance of the public to council meetings. And of course, excellent relationship with NGOs and other government agencies. We met a lot of interesting and professional people, NGOs from non-profit and some other association. So these are some of the some of the other meetings that we had in during our 3 weeks here.
Okay. Yeah. So aside from the environmental sustainability programs that the town is proud of, you also take pride of the culture and the arts, having equal promotion of the culture and the arts, which can be seen like everywhere. Even the just the shops can already be considered as a gallery. So these are the photos of the places or areas in Berlin that we went to, where you exhibit locals' artistry at the Globe. The second Friday art stroll, we also met with Steve Finn and Country Grass during their street performance during the second art stroll, and the local band, Connor and Chris, the Pool Brothers, and the local artist John Stockman. Yeah. Of course, the beautiful sights surrounding Berlin, within Berlin and surrounding Berlin, the breathtaking view in Assamun Bay State Wildlife, the enchanting sunset at Ocean Pines, the vibrant beach life in Ocean City, the peaceful sight at Balls Creek Nevitt, and the amazing tree stands in Girdle Tree. Another wonderful experience was when we had the chance to go to Assateague as well. We were very impressed with the conservation and protection programs being implemented in that area, as you know, it's evident that it's protected and very well conserved. We got excited when we learned that we're going to Assateague for a whole day. We expected to see the ponies or like wild ponies in the area. So this is a photo we got from the internet because we were not able to. I guess because the weather was not perfect that day, so the ponies were like hiding. So we just photoshopped.
Just you say that you met the
voters. No. Okay, and of course, the most important, we think, is the commitment and the passion of the people of that works here in Town Hall and in Berlin, from the mayor to the town to the council members to the department directors and down to the personnel. So it's very inspiring. The hard work that you put into making this town, I guess the best, is very inspiring. So hopefully we hear from you again, and then we would learn that you'd still be the same town, Berlin town that we, or even better, even better. So these are the photos we had. Over the 3 weeks, this is our last week, this is our fourth week, yes, that we will be here in Berlin town.
Really got around.
Yeah. So these are just some of the photos that of our activities per week. So we had the chance to go to Annapolis coming here. We dropped by Annapolis, of course, attended several meetings with Jane, with Ivy, with all the department directors, with Tim. We also had a chance to visit, to do some homestays at Jeff's family home in Millsboro. some farm visits, farmer's market in Ocean Pines with Vicky, and of course dinner at Vicky's. We also experienced a baseball game at the Shorebirds game in Salisbury, with Jeff. We had several speaking engagements at the Kiwanis and environmental talk in Salisbury University. And we got to enjoy several nature parks, Pocomoc, Assateague, a lot. And we were able to also meet with other officials of the county, Bob Mitchell from the environment sector. We did some museums. We were able to do a cultural talk at the youth center. The kids were very interested. They were asking if we had McDonald's in the Philippines and Malaysia too, if we had iPhones and, you know, stuff like that. So it's interesting. It's nice that they're interested. What else? So some homestays, other areas. I had a chance to cook adobo with at Larnette's home with her son Karsten, with Josh and Ivy and Morgan, and so it was fun. The last time I cooked was when I was in college, so I'm happy that Josh liked it.
You didn't kill it, right?
Oh no. And then of course visit to the Water Resources Department with Jane and her staff, very wonderful people. And our particular interest also with the easement conservation programs that I think I will try to push for this as well in the Philippines if given the chance. Of course, very generous time spent with us by the mayor. We had dinner with him and with Laura, and he also attended the Crab Feast event with other town hall employees. And Darl was with us this morning, this afternoon, and then he was very kind enough to show us around the stormwater projects being implemented here in Berlin. So from the bottom of our hearts, we would like to thank everyone from the town of Berlin for having us. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We run away. No, we'll be here just a few more days. First of all, we hope that from your presentation, I believe that our hope, that you always think of this as a home away from home. We'll be with you for forever. Certainly hope so. And I think besides all the practical things and all the educational, environmental, and all the cultural things that we share, I think one of the things that's one of the most heartwarming and encouraging things about your visit, both of you, Salita and Chris Sarna, is that it reminds us that there are really good people all over the world. And that's something we need to be reminded about. And one of the things I think that we maybe take for granted or sometimes just don't think about is that there's most of the people in the world are very good people. Just trying to do the right things, trying to raise their families, trying to take care of people, take care of their communities. And that in reality, we all have so much more in common than we don't. And this was a very good reminder for us, because just like everyone else, sometimes you get so busy taking care of business and taking care of the things you're responsible for rather than personal. Public or community, that this was a great, great experience for us as well. And I think that it's also something you can take pride in. And you obviously both have committed to taking care of our natural world. And that is truly a calling that is universal. It is in various stages of recognition. In different places all over this, not only in this country, but throughout the world. Some places have seen the light and have taken this very much to heart, and other places are still degrading the very things that make life possible. So I want to congratulate you both on your contributions to our community,
the information you've left us is going to obviously keep you busy for a while. We promise to send you information by whatever means. I'm sure it'll be technology of some sort, and kind of keep you up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, we'd like
and
that.
Especially when we check off the list, the homework you've left us to do, and which we're very, very pleased with. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Next are departmental reports. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Morland.
I actually don't have anything to say.
Okay. Another round of applause. next, Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just to let you know, when the lights hit there, the speaker went out, the mic. So I'll try to talk as loud as I can.
Okay.
I didn't have anything to do with those lights dimming.
Didn't wave a magic
wand. I know what caused it. But anyway, as far as the past couple of weeks, most of our work has been concentrated in the power plant, getting ready for the peak shaving starting June 1st. We had our emissions testing that was done on the engine number one, and what we found out is we have to replace the catalyst filter. I actually ordered a new filter for it, which is supposed to be delivered this week. And once we get it installed, it will be tested again for emission. From what I understand, there should be no problem where it will pass, but we had to replace it with a new filter.
Now, I think it was in your weekly report.
Yes.
That you were talking about this. And if you just include when that happens, just send that as a weekly report and update.
Yes.
If it happens between meetings. That's
okay.
Good. It's very encouraging.
Yes. Then also, we are doing some communication upgrades within the power plant as far as there's several devices in there. It's called Woodward Controls. That's what talks to the engines and tells them when to run, when to stop, that type of thing. So we're just doing some hardwiring of cable and that type of stuff in there, installing some cube relays to upgrade that somewhat. Then also in Cannery Village, all the new streetlights have been installed except for two, which is down at the far end where the switch is located. There's no houses down in that area. It's a dead end port down there. But all the light poles have been installed except for at the top end. We've got like two more to do at the top, but they're still under construction. So we're waiting for the construction phase to finish so none of the vehicles back into the poles. Then also, Cannery Village, we had to do, last thing we had to do in there was install the back feed into the switch that will give us the capability of back feeding either direction if there was to be a power outage, which we completed that also. And then starting tomorrow, we're starting demand and meter reading. Starting tomorrow.
Thank you.
Apparently, it's Tim. He has for the town administrator report two POs, if you could take time and explain those.
Yeah, you want me to do that now?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay. You'll see two POs in your packet. One of them is PO 0004. You'll see there the total was $20,277.40. The actual total on that is $21,561.75. A new PO system, for some reason it didn't add the amount for the Nordic pad. That's what the switch sits on. That switch is for the, what we're doing there, you may remember we had a power outage in Decatur Farms during the storm where that big tree fell on the three-phase line. This is a project where we're actually undergrounding that portion of the line from Gull Creek into Decatur Farms. Those trees in there are 65, 70 feet tall, and right over top of the line, and We had some bond money proceeds left over to purchase this switch and the underground cable to underground that area, which in turn, which will also allow us to remove the entire overhead line from Decatur Farms all the way back out to Decatur Street extension. That line will be able to come out. Then also on the next PO, which is 0005, it's a company called Aramco. That's for a 750 kVA transformer. That is for Gold Creek. Gold Creek has one of those transclosure services. There's a total of 10 of them in town. And they were in the 10-year plan to replace them, you know, one or two or three per year. And that's the next one in line to get replaced. And that is also going to be paid for out of the bond proceeds. That'll pretty much bring our bond proceeds down to zero. We had to spend that money by the end of June, or I guess we forfeited.
Forfeited, yes.
Right, so that pretty much brought it down to zero.
I think this is something you gave us a heads up on, I want to say a couple months ago or so.
Yes, sir.
That was your plan. Excellent.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve both of those numbers. First one, 2016-00004, and also 00005.
We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve both purchase orders as requested, both by the deputy administrator. By Jeff.
By Jeff.
By Jeff. This is a lot easier. And by the county director, Tim. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I do know this is the police chief.
Good evening, everyone. Just to let you know that we did, the whole department, all sewer members, did complete Narcan training the last 2 weeks to combat the opiate overdoses. We are now in the process of preparing for all the Memorial Day events, the parade in particular, and that's all I have to report.
Thank you. Next is Planning Director David Barr.
I have nothing further.
And Managing Director,
it's Jeff. Two quick things. Open enrollment begins tomorrow. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow it's in the morning. Wednesday it's in the afternoon. And Thursday it's 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. And we will begin seasonal interviews at the end of next week.
Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? Comments?
No, sir.
Any council?
Comments or questions? Restrooms for parks. Henry Park was approved.
Yes.
Through this grant.
Yes.
What was the cost of that?
The total, I believe, was $106,000 and some change. $95,000 is the grant fund.
Will we be applying for, will we be applying again for Steve Decatur?
Yes.
That's next year?
Mm-hmm.
Long range now. If that application is not successful, I would like for us to take on that undertaking of providing permanent restrooms in Steve Decatur Park. It's a little late now, but if we start planning now, we may be able to do something for the next fiscal year.
Yeah, I have a question for you, if you don't mind asking. Is if we apply, and just thinking of next year, we'll be doing the budget, obviously, in spring, late spring. Will we know at that time if we're eligible or not? So what I'm saying is, could we budget it, and if we don't need it, then fine, but if we don't get the grant in the following fiscal year, we'd still be okay either way.
The way this particular grant works, the grants are due in August, and then but you don't actually learn whether you've been awarded or not until the following spring. Okay. So what typically happens is we're in the middle of our budget process when we find out whether we've been approved.
So what you're suggesting is that Mary make sure that we've got it as a contingency in the budget, yeah. And then hopefully it'll come through, especially if we do it if you don't get it in place.
It's always easier to take it out.
That's for sure. That's for sure. The words of many years of budgeting, right? Yes. Thank you. Great idea. Thank you.
And I have two things. Cannery Village, if you can get Public Works to take a look at that again. With all the rain that we've had, the road is starting to deteriorate again. Yeah, potholes.
Is there another layer coming on that road?
Gotta be.
I mean, it certainly doesn't look like a finished layer.
No.
Okay. No, it is. Okay. Just so that's good.
Thank you.
And then you have to put that top coat in until we're finished.
Yeah, until all the trucks and everything.
Yeah.
And the other complaint I have is the parking lot right here across from Burbage's funeral home. I think it belongs to Taylor Bank. The entrance and the exit. I don't know, maybe the police department might want to take a look at it. Some people are getting mixed up the way they go in and the way they come out. Because it's one way in, one way out. And it used to be for years that you could go in either entrance, either way. But now it's, like I said, one way in, one way out. So I might want to take a look at that.
And just one thing I think, James, I hear right at the moment, Jeff, you can check out. I know it was mentioned somewhere along that it's been raining so much that painting the areas, I think, is something that'll certainly help, but it doesn't help the actual entrance. And maybe there's something that between Jane and her folks, and Chief and everybody, maybe there's something we can add that makes it more clear at both exits and entrances, where you go. Maybe a little sign. I'm just saying, nothing gigantic, but maybe a little arrows or something. Something that's, you don't need to read, you just kind of instinctively look at it and know what to do. Okay, does that help? Thank you. Okay. Do we have any comments from anyone who's in attendance tonight who would like to address the council with either comments or questions? Do we have any comments or questions from the press? All right, thank you so much for your patience and for attending.